Okay, we're going to begin here on the top of Tzadik Gimel Amud Aleph. Before we begin, we're just going to review quickly what we saw yesterday because it'll be essential to what we're going to see in the Gemara today. We saw yesterday that the Mishnah brings two individuals based on the Psukim in Parshat Palotcha that are granted a dispensation not to do Pesach Rishon, but rather to do Pesach Sheni, and that's a Tamei and Derech Rechoka. And that is because those people are not available or don't have the ability to bring Pesach Rishon, and therefore the Pesach grants them a special deferment to bring it on Pesach Sheni. The question that was asked in the Gemara, and is a machlok between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshet, is if a person is a derech rechoka, whatever the definition of that, which we'll see later in today's daf, how far out you have to be, but if that individual is so far out that they're not going to be able to make it in to bring the Korban of Pesach during the Zman HaShechitah, then they bring a Pesach Sheni. But what happens if that individual decides they want to bring the Korban Pesach anyway? Obviously, they themselves cannot bring the Korban Pesach because they're too far outside of Yerushalayim to actually bring it. But what happens if they appoint proxies in Yerushalayim to bring it on their behalf, and then they show up later point where they can be a participant in the Pesach or the Korban HaPesach? Is that individual then Yotze with that Pesach Rishon? And the question is the exemption that's granted by the Torah, is that something that precludes you from the ability to bring a Pesach Rishon, and therefore, if you do it anyway, it doesn't work, and you're deferred to Pesach Sheni, irrespective of your using a proxy or you're bringing the Pesach Rishon? And that's the view of Rav Sheshet, that the Torah says you're exempt, the Torah says you are deferred, and you are precluded, therefore, from bringing a Pesach Rishon, you must bring Pesach Sheni. On the other hand, Rav Nachman says that it was a dispensation that was granted. It's not a preclusion, and therefore the individual has the right, if they want to make the extra effort and bring the Korban Pesach Rishon using proxies, that we would accept it. And that would be a good Korban Pesach, and he would not have to bring a Pesach Sheni. So that was the machloket we saw between them. And the Gemara brought different proofs to each one of those individuals. What we left off with was a braita from Rabbi Akiva, that based on the Mishnah that we'll see in later today's daf, which is Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer argue about how far out of Yerushalayim you need to be in order to consider derech rechoka. Rabbi Akiva believes that you have to be a significant distance outside of Yerushalayim where it makes it impossible for you to reach Yerushalayim in time for either shechting the Korban Pesach or to eat the Korban HaPesach. We'll see that machloket later today's daf. And Rabbi Eliezer believes you just need to be outside the Azara. If you're outside the Azara, you're already considered to be the Derech Rechoka. Now, Rabbi Akiva says to Rabbi Eliezer about his position, I can prove to you that I'm right, that Derech Rechoka means literally that you're too far out. The distance that you need to cover is too great, and therefore you're not going to make it in time for the Korban Pesach because of the two items that are mentioned together that have a dispensation. That is Nemar Tameh, V'Nemar Derech Rechoka. The two individuals who are exempted from the need to bring a Pesach Rishon and can then defer to Pesach Sheni or Tameh and Derech Rechoka. Now, the way that Rashi reads the Gemara, it is very favorably inclined towards Rav Sheshet and makes sense in the context of the Gemara here, but in the context of the Tosefta, it doesn't make so much sense, and therefore the Balei HaTosafot will tell us there's an alternate girsa in the Tosefta that makes more sense in that context of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer's argument. But at least for Rashi, the way that it's read is, Matameh shesipek biyado lasot ve'eino oseh. According to Rashi, that's the girsa in the Gemara, that this individual has the capacity to do it, meaning that he's right here. He's in front of us, but he is blocked from doing that because of the fact that he is Tameh, af derech rechoka nami. So too, when it comes to derech rechoka, shisipek biyado lasot, even though he has the capacity to bring it, meaning that he can send proxies to bring it on his behalf, bein oseh. Nevertheless, the Torah precludes him from being able to bring it. So that equation makes it that, like Rav Sheshet said, despite the fact that you have the capacity to do it, you're precluded from doing it. And that's exactly like what Rav Sheshet suggested. The Balei HaTosafot say that all the girsot that they found cause for me, mechen garsinim b'sifrei, ma tamei she'ein sipek biyado. That it's not that yesh sipek biyado, like Rashi has in the positive sense, but rather in the negative sense. That just like a tamei, she'ein sipek biyado lasot, he does not have the capacity to bring the Korban HaPesach because he is precluded because he is tamei. Af derech rechoka nami. So too, when it comes to derech rechoka, it's got to be a case she'ein sipek biyado lasot. It's a case where he doesn't have the capacity or the ability to bring it, ve'eino oseh, and then doesn't bring it. So from there, Rabbi Akiva proves to Rabbi Eliezer, and that's why Tosafot says the girsa that way makes much more sense, is that the derech rechoka must be a physical distance that is so great that he doesn't have the capacity to do it. Just like by Tamei, it's a situation where he is unable to do it because of his tumah, and that's what the Torah says. So too, the case of derech rechoka must be a situation in which he's unable to do it. And that situation is a situation when he's far away not when he's standing outside the Azara. Therefore, it's not called Derech Rechoka until you're very far away. Now, how does that help Rav Sheshet? It's because he says, Ve'eino Oseh. The end of that line is that the Derech Rechoka is a situation in which he is physically far away. Ve'eino Oseh, and he's precluded from bringing it. The fact that Rabbi Akiva says generically, Eino Oseh, that you don't have the capacity to do it, makes it sound like you can't do it. Even if you sent proxies on your behalf, you still would not be able to do it. And that's the way the Balya Tosafot read that part of the Gemara that comes from the Sifrei. So Rav Nachman Amar Lecha, so now Rav Nachman responds to this equation of Rabbi Akiva that helps Rav Sheshet, Rabbi Akiva L'tameh. Akiva's L'shita To, which Tosafot says it's not clear where Rabbi Akiva has this Shita, because we don't necessarily find it associated with Rabbi Akiva, even though we do find other Tanaim that do have this position. Although those that want to associate it with Rabbi Akiva's position, that the reason that these individuals were Tmeim is because they were Osuk B'meit Mitzvah, and that was that they were burying Nadav and Avihu that was being done by Mishael V'Tzafan, their cousins, that became Tmeim. And in this view, the Yom HaShmini, like the Ibn Ezra suggests in Chumash, was on the 8th day of Nisan. That means that the 7th day of their Tumah fell out on Erev Pesach. And that means that they're the equivalent of Tumat Sheretz, because the last day of their Tumah fell out on Erev Pesach. And then Rabbi Akiva Lashitatei, in that way, is Kasavra Ein Shochtim Zorkim Al Tamei Sheretz, that you're not allowed to bring a Korban Pesach on behalf of somebody who, even though they will be Tahor that night, nevertheless, they can't bring it because during the Zman HaShchita, they're not available because they are Tamei at that point in time. And that goes back to the Machloket that we just saw back on Daf Tzadi with regards to whether Shochtim Zorkim Al Tamei Sheretz or Ain Shochtim Zorkim Al Tamei Sheretz. So Rabbi Kiva believes that you ain't Shochtim. That is the nature of the equation now, as Rashi explains over here, because just like by Tum'ah, during the period of time of Shechita, this person is disqualified. But during the time of Achilah, they are qualified. And despite that fact, the Torah says you can't bring the Korban HaPesach, because Ein Shochtim Zorkim Al Tamei Sheretz, which means anybody on their last day of Tum'ah, whether it means Sheretz, because their Tum'ah is just that day, or we're talking about a Tumat Mate on their last day, you're not allowed to bring the Korban on their behalf, and if they haven't gone to the Mikveh yet. And so too, Derech Rechoka, which means that they won't be able to get there in time for the Shechitat HaPesach, even though they will be in time for the Achilah, they will be precluded from bringing the Korban HaPesach. And that's Rabbi Akiva's statement. Just like by Tum'ah, you can't bring the Korban despite the fact that you are disqualified during Shechita and qualified during Achilah, so too by Derech Rechoka, even though you are not available during the Shechita but will be available during the Achilah, you're not allowed to bring the Korban HaPesach. And therefore, according to Rabbi Akiva, Eino Hanami, if you brought the Korban HaPesach, it wouldn't work when you're B'derech Rechoka, like Rav Sheshet said. But Ana Svirle, Rav Nachman says, I don't hold like that. I hold like the Mandamar, Shochtim Zorkim Al Tamei Sheretz. I hold like the one who says that you can bring a Korban Pesach for someone who has Tamei too much Sheretz and hasn't gone to the Mikveh yet. I hold that you can bring such a Korban Pesach. And that means that when regards to Tumat Sheretz, even though the person is disqualified or unable to bring do the Shechita because they are Tamei, but they are able to have the Achilah live that night, we do permit them to bring a Korban Pesach. And so therefore, that can't be the comparison to the days of Derech Rechoka. That means that the case of Derech Rechoka now has to be a case where it's Tumat Mate, where it's their sixth day, or it's Tumat Mate that will disqualify them both for the Shechita and for the Achilah. They won't be available for either of them. That's the situation in which a Tamei can't bring a Korban HaPesach. And so too, that'll be the din, or that'll be the scenario where Derech Rechoka can't bring it. Someone who's in a Derech Rechoka can't bring it when they are totally outside of the realm. That means that they're not physically able to get there in time for the Shechita, but they're also not physically able to get there for the time for the Achilah as well, because that's the case of Tumah. Tumah is a case where they're Tamei for both the Shechita and the Achilah. So too, they have to be B'derech Rechoka, both for the Shechita and the Achilah. And that's the comparable case. But that means that if they do have the capacity to make it there in time for Achilah, in Ochanami, you would have the option to bring the Korban HaPesach, just like you are Shochtim Zorkim Al Tamei Sheretz. When you are unable to do the Shechita and can't do the Achilah, it's a thumbs up. Same thing will be true with regards to Derech Rechoka. If you can't make it there during the Zman HaShechita, but you can't make it there during the Zman Achilah, you can send proxies to bring it on your behalf, and it will work. And therefore, I disagree with Rabbi Akiva, not that he can disagree with Rabbi Akiva the Tano, but there are plenty of Tanaim that disagree with that point of Ein Shochtim Zorkim Al Tamei Sheretz, I subscribe to those Tanaim that believe Shochtim Mizrochim al Tamei Sheret. And therefore, the comparison of Tumah and Derech Rechoka, a case where the Tumah totally disqualifies him, both from Shechita and Achila, and the same will be true by Derech Rechoka. That's the case where you don't bring it, but in a case where you could make it in there for Zman Achila, in Ochanami, you would have the option to bring the Korban HaPesach, and that would be supportive of Rav Nachman's contention. Okay, that's where we left off yesterday, and now that will lead us into the next braita that's brought over here, which is Tana Banan. Elu shosim et hasheni. These are individuals who have the right to bring a Pesach Sheni because they will be unable to bring the Pesach Rishon, and that is Hazavin, Hazavot, Hamitzorain, Vamitzoraot, Nidot, Ubolei Nidot, Vayoludot. Women who gave birth were also Tmeot and can't bring their Korban HaPesach Rishon. All these individuals are Tmeim. These are males and females. So in each of these categories, these individuals were Tamei during Pesach Rishon, so they are precluded from bringing it. So they'll have the opportunity to bring it by Pesach Sheni. Hashogegim, someone who unintentionally forgot, unintentionally missed Pesach Rishon. Maybe he forgot it was Pesach. Banusin, or people were, for whatever reason, had an emergency, something outside of their control that made it impossible for them to bring the Korban HaPesach. Bamezidim, and people who intentionally did not bring the Korban Pesach Rishon, v'tamei, and someone who is tamei, v'shaya b'derech rechoka, or someone who was too far outside of Yerushalayim, all of those individuals are able to bring the Pesach Sheni. So im kein, lama ne'mar tamei. Then why does the Torah specify tamei if all these individuals have the same din as the tamei that's mentioned in the Pasuk? And the tamei that's mentioned in the Pasuk is tamei nefesh, someone who has tumat tameit. So why is that individual mentioned in the Torah, if that individual is just an example of many other individuals who are given the opportunity to do Pesach Sheni? When it says, Lama Ne'amar, why do you have to tell me this? The by the Meivai Barishon lo Shavkinen Le. Because this individual, if they wanted to try to bring it on Pesach Rishon, we would not allow them. Now, we're going to come back to this in a second because it's a very difficult statement of the Gemara, but the Braita now assumes that Tamei is absolutely necessary because there's a possibility you would have thought, despite that these individuals have the capacity, the Me'avad Berishon, to do it on Pesach Rishon, because they're Tmeim during Shechita, but they'll be Tohrim during Achila, Lo Shavkinen Le, we do not allow them to do it. So this sounds like Rabbi Akiva's Shita. It sounds like maybe even supportive of Rav Sheshet's contention as well. Ela, Imkein, Lama Ne'amar B'derech Rechoka. The Tosefta says it's clear that Tamei is necessary, because we have to preclude someone who could have brought it. Me'avad says, well then, why does it say Derech Rechoka in the Pasuk? The potro mina karet. To tell you that you are patur mina karet, ukumanda mar hurtza. And this follows the position of Rav Nachman. So here, the Gemara brings a braita that is supportive of Rav Nachman's contention, and that is because, according to Rav Sheshet, you would also need Derech Rechoka. Because by Derech Rechoka, just like by Tamei, we just said before, you need Tamei to tell you that, had you had the capacity to do it, the Torah still precludes you from doing it. For Rav Sheshet, that din would also be true by Derech Rechoka. Even if you have the capacity to do it, the Torah precludes you from doing it. And therefore, there would be a necessity to write Tamei and Derech Rechoka, because they both have that same chiddush, according to Rav Sheshet, which is, even though you have the ability to do it, you're precluded, you're not allowed to do it. The fact that the Braita does not say that, and says the only reason that we need Derech Rechoka is to teach you that you're not Chayav Karet, so that shows you that they don't believe that you are precluded from being the Korban HaPesach when you're with Derech Rechoka, like Rav Nachman. And that's what the Gemara just said, that this is said according to the one who says, Hurtza, like Rav Nachman, who says that if you brought the Pesach Rishon and you were exempt, like in a case of Derech Rechoka, you'd still be Yotze with the Pesach Rishon, and therefore Derech Rechoka needs to be brought for something else, and that's coming to teach you the lesson that we saw in our Mishnah, which is the Potro Mina Karet, to tell you that these individuals don't get Karet. Who's included under that category is a machloket rishonim with regards to the Mishnah. Most of the rishonim read it the way that the Gemara read it, which means potro mina karet, means including someone who's a shogeg, ones, tamei, anybody who was allowed to skip Pesach Rishon because there was something that prevented them from being in Pesach Rishon, or because it was done in an unintentional or accidental manner, all of those individuals will be potro mina karet. And the one who is chayav karet is a mezid, someone who did it intentionally, whereas the Rambam reads it that only a tamei and derech rechoka are exempt from karet, even if they don't bring Pesach Sheni, whereas all the other individuals that are mentioned there, if they don't bring a Pesach Rishon, and then they don't bring a Pesach Sheni, they will be chayav karet, because they were indisposed at the time of Pesach Rishon, so they couldn't bring it, but they don't get an exemption, and therefore if they don't bring Pesach Sheni, they'll be held liable for that, and they'll be Chayav Karet. And that will relate to a machloka we'll see later on today's daf, as to what's the interaction between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. Now, the problem with this Braita, which the Tosafot already notes, is that we just said above, that according to the one who says that Hurtza, which is Rav Nachman, that he believes Shochtim Vizorkim Al Tamei Sheretz, that you're allowed to bring a Korban when you're Tamei, or in your final day of Tumah, and you haven't gone to the Mikveh yet, you're allowed to bring a Korban Pesach, or someone brings it on your behalf, and you'll eat it that night. And this Braita seems to take it for granted that that's not the case. That over here, it's saying that, but why do you need the word Tamei? Well, the Tamei comes to teach you that if you have the capacity to do it, we block you from doing it. That's just not true. We just established that for Rav Nachman, there is Shochtim Vizorkim Al Tamei Sheretz, and therefore, he is Hurtza by Derech Rechoka. And Rabbi Akiva, who is in line with Rav Sheshet's position, who believes Lo Hurtza, he's the one who says that Tamei Sheretz ain't Shochtim Vizorkim Alav. And now this Braita that we just brought from the Tosefta seems to mix and match. It says that it's a case of Hurtza by Derech Rechoka, and yet with regards to Tamei, it says even if he has the ability to do it, he's precluded from doing it. The Balei Tosafot say, Tema, according to Rav Nachman, who says that Shochtim Zorkim Tamei Sheretz, the Tamei that's found in Parshat Balotcha that is exempt from Pesach Rishon, is someone who was Tamei both during the time of Shechita and the time of Achila. And they are totally precluded from bringing the Korban Pesach, and there'd be no Havamina that you'd be able to bring a Korban Pesach, that you need a Pasuk to tell you that you don't have to bring it. And that's what Tosafot says, Pshita Lo Shav Kinenle. It's simple or straightforward that we wouldn't allow him to bring a Korban Pesach, came to Lo Chazi Namecha, because he doesn't have the capacity to eat the Korban HaPesach. So Tosafot read Braita a little differently and says, the way they have to read the Braita is, Im Kein Lama Namer Tamei, why does it say Tamei? Lama Namar, Di Bay Namei Barishan Lo Shav Kinenle. That's part of the question. It's not an answer to the question as to why we need Tamei. Point of the Braita is, we don't need Tamei because even if he wanted to do it, we wouldn't let him do it because he's Tamei during the Zman Shechita and the Zman Achila, and therefore he doesn't have the ability to bring it at all. So then what do you need the word Tamei for? That goes back to the drasha that we saw in the previous Parakim, which is that the Tamei that we're speaking about here is Ish Ki Yeh Tamei L'Nefesh Obeder Chukoka. And that comes to teach you that Ish Tamei is Nidchet Pesach Sheni, but Sibur in a Nidachin. So we have a use for that word Tamei over there, or we have a limud already from it. It has nothing to do with the ability to bring or not ability to bring it, because that's obvious in this case. And the drusha that we have is Ish Tamei is Nidchet Pesach Sheni, but the Tzibur are not Nidachim to Pesach Sheni. Then Tosafot goes on to ask another question, which is very relevant to the end of yesterday's daf as well, which is that the reason that this Braita is supportive of Rav Nachman's contention is because they use Derech Rechoka to tell you that you're patur min ha-karet. And they didn't use it to teach you that had you had the ability to bring it, and you did, you would have been precluded. So the fact they don't do that shows you that they don't believe that that's the case. And that means that you could send it in like Rav Nachman suggests, which is Hurtza. And therefore, the Derech Rechoka is extraneous, and we use it to teach you that you're patur min ha-karet. Why can't you make the same deal out of our Mishnah? Our Mishnah asks the exact same question and says, Lama ne'amar tamei oshayab Derech Rechoka, she'elu p'turim ikaret, ve'elu chayavim ikaret. So it makes the same point in our Mishnah. The fact that our Mishnah uses Derech Rechoka to teach you that you're patur min ha-karet, that should also be a disproof to Rav Sheshet. And if you look at the bottom of Rashi, on Sadi Bed Amud Bet, there's a little piece at the end of the Rashi there, which many assume is not attributable to Rashi, and it was added in later, but it's Temeli, Amai lo amai Rav Nachman, mena aminu lo. Why doesn't Rav Nachman bring a proof from our Mishnah, Diktani im kein lama ne'amar derech rechoka, she'elu p'turim, midukamar lama ne'amar, the fact that it says, what do you need it for, shvamina, dibay lemeved ovid, ki Rav Nachman. That shows you that if you wanted to do it, you could do it. Otherwise, that would be the reason for Derech Rechoka, to tell you you're precluded. Because the Ikar Rav Sheshet, it's Drichti by the Mevel Omiyavit. It was Rav Sheshet's opinion was correct. Then we have a reason for Derech Rechoka, to tell you that you're precluded even if you do it, and you have the capacity to be there by the time of the Achila. The fact that the Mishnah doesn't offer that, and says that it's to tell you you're Patur Mikaret, shows you that the Mishnah is like Rav Nachman, not like Rav Sheshet. Or in essence, it's the same diuk that the Gemara is making here in the Tosefta, to say that this Tosefta is like Rav Nachman, why didn't they make it on the Mishnah? So Rashi, or whoever put that in Rashi, leaves it as a tzarech iyun, as a question. The Balei Tosafot over here at the end answer the question over here and say, V'nir l'ri, Mimatnitan diktani sheilu pturim mikaret leka lemeidak Rav Nachman. From the Mishnah, you can't be medayik like Rav Nachman as you can in the Braita. And that is because in the Mishnah, it says both pturim and chayavin. And so what you can answer is the reason it says pturim in a karet in the Mishnah is to be parallel with the other part of the Mishnah that says chayavin. And therefore, it's just a parallel structure. I diktani chayavin, they wrote pturim. So it's because they say chayavin, which for Rav Sheshet is actually a plurality, which is both onain and mezid, are chayavin karet, according to Rav Sheshet, and they're both the absent or unspoken people that are found in the Mishnah, and they are chayavin. So he wrote pturim for the other side of Derech Chukah, but that's not really the limud. The limud that you get from Derech Chukah would be that even if you tried to do it, we would preclude you, or you would be precluded from doing it. On the other hand, by the Braita only mentions Purim, the Potrom in a Karet, never mentions the Chayav side. The fact that it says Potrom in a Karet, there's only one way to say it. Therefore, it leaves you no option but to say that the Braita is telling you that that's the Limud from Derech Rechukah. That's the Limud from Derech Rechukah. That cannot be like Rav Sheshet, because Rav Sheshet would have used Derech Rechukah to teach you that even if you are able through proxies to bring the Korban HaPesach when you're Derech Rechukah, we won't allow you to do it. And that's why it says, Kemanda Amar Hurtza. This is like the individual who says that it is Hurtza, or like Rav Nachman. Now, the Gemara asks on this Braita, Isha b'sheni mi mechayva. But since when is a woman chayevet in bringing a Pesach sheni? V'atanya, don't we have a Braita? L'yoko lo yeo simet ha-sheni ela t'mei nefesh. V'shaya b'derech rechukah, you would think that the only people who are allowed to bring a Pesach sheni are the people mentioned in the Pasuk in Balotcha, which are the Tamei and the Derech rechukah, Zavin. Umitzorain, ubolei nidot minayin. These other individuals are tmeim. How do we know they are also given the right to use Pesach Sheni? Tamlomar ish ish. The double lashon of ish ish kiya tameila nefesh comes to teach you that any person that is tamei, not just someone who's tamei nefesh, but anybody who is tamei can bring the Pesach Sheni. So from that braita, the question seems to be, there it only mentions zavin, mitzorain, ubolei nidot, which are all male individuals. In the bright that we brought before, it mentioned the male and female versions of these tuma. In this bright, that only mentions the male individuals, which seems to indicate that this is only available for men, not available for women. And how could that be if our previous bright that just said that women are also included? So you seem to have a stira. The Rabbeinu Hanano seems to think that the bright itself said explicitly ish velo isha. It says that from ish ish, we learn an ish and not an isha, not a woman, meaning that she's actually precluded from bringing Pesach Sheni. So how do we reconcile between these two Braitot? Lo kasha, that's not a problem. We'll go back to Tzadi Aleph. We saw the Machloket Tanaim as to what the woman's Chiyuv is with regards to Pesach. And that is Ha Rabbi Yossi, Ha Rabbi Yehuda, Ve Rabbi Shimon. So this is the Girsa that we have in our Gemara and the way that Rashi reads it, which is Rabbi Yossi, who believes that a woman is Chayevet in Korban Pesach Rishon and in Pesach Sheni. So Rabbi Yossi will be the one that we ascribe the Braita that says that women can also avail themselves of Pesach Sheni, because he believes women are chayavot, both in Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. Ha, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon. And the Braita that we just brought that says that women are not bringing a Pesach Sheni, that's according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Rashi over here says, Damei Rishut, they both say it's optional. That's not true. Rabbi Yehuda says it's optional for women in Pesach Sheni, and Rabbi Shimon says that they're not allowed to bring it. They're not able to avail themselves of Pesach Sheni at all. That's Rabbi Shimon's view. So what's interesting is Rabbeinu Hanano divides up the Tanaim differently and actually seems to make a little more sense, which he says is Ha Rabbi Yossi, Ha Rabbi Yehuda. The first Braita is either Rabbi Yossi or Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yossi says Pesach Sheni is an obligation on women. Rabbi Yehuda says Pesach Sheni is a reshut. They have the ability to bring it. They don't have to do it, but they have the ability to tefela, to join another chabura in Pesach Sheni. Whereas Rabbi Shimon is the one who's the author or the ascription of the second Braita is to Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Shimon believes that women cannot bring Pesach Sheni, period. They are precluded from Pesach Sheni, the Gamre. And that's the way the Rabbeinu Hanano reads it, that Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, who are the first Braita, and Rabbi Shimon, who is the second Braita, the Girsa that we have is Rabbi Yossi is the first Braita, because Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon are the second Braita, and the reason they mention the men and not the women is because, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's only a Reshut, and according to Rabbi Shimon, they're precluded, and therefore, they only mention the males where it is an obligation for them to bring Pesach Sheni. Tan Rabbanan. Now we're going to discuss the interplay between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. Chayav Karet al Rishon, Chayav Karet al Sheni. Divrei Rabbi. According to Rabbi, You're chayav karet if you improperly deal with Pesach Rishon. That means that you intentionally don't bring Pesach Rishon. And you're chayav karet on Pesach Sheni if you intentionally don't bring the Korban of Pesach on Pesach Sheni. As Rashi points out, you can't be chayav karet twice, because once you already have a punishment of karet, then you can't have an additional punishment of karet. Now that might be Rashi the Shittato, who only has one type or form of karet. Other Rishonim, like the Ramban, the Rambam, who seem to believe that there are different gradations of karet, and those different gradations of karet, it's possible that you could have a punishment of karet, and then a second punishment of karet. Over here, it's the same karet, so maybe even according to them, it would be impossible to have both of them. But generally, when you have a chiyuv bidei shamayim, we do say that you can have two punishments. Bidei adam, you can't kill somebody twice. But bidei shamayim, you can have options, depending on what you think karet is, to have multiple punishments, or even if you get forgiveness for one, the other one would still be outstanding. And therefore, maybe there is a possibility of it, but Rashi says that that's not the case, and he is supported by the Gemara later on, which seems to indicate, according to Rabbi, that you only chayav one karet. Rabbi Natan Omer, chayav karet al rishon, upatur al sheni. You can be chayav karet for missing Pesach rishon. You can't be chayav karet for missing Pesach sheni or not doing Pesach sheni. Rabbi Hananya ben Akavi Omer, af al rishon enu chayav karet. You're not chayav karet even for missing Pesach rishon, elim kem lo asat sheni. Unless you didn't do Pesach sheni. Now, va'azdu letamayu. Now, let's explain their positions. Titania. We have a braita. Now this will explain two out of the three tanaim here, and then the Gemara will come back and explain all three of their positions. Ger shnit gayer ben shnei pesachim. If you have a convert who converted between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, chen katan shigdil, or a minor that grew up between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, became of age in between the two of them, ben shnei pesachim, chayav lasot Pesach Sheni, divrei Rabbi. According to Rabbi, he has to do Pesach Sheni, because Rabbi sees Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni being two independent items. And just like you can be chayav karet independently on each one of them, so too you're a chayav on each one of them. So just because you weren't available during Pesach Rishon because you weren't Jewish or you were not of age yet, that doesn't preclude you from bringing Pesach Sheni. And you will be obligated in Pesach Sheni even though you were not obligated in Pesach Rishon. This goes back to the Tosafot on Dav Tzadi Aleph, who asked, why did the Gemara need a limud to tell you that a katan is not chayav karet? Katan is never chayav in onshin. And so the Tosafot said it's a case where he grew up in between. It's a case where he became a gadol in between. It's coming to tell you that you don't have to do a Pesach Sheni, unlike Rabbi. Meaning it's against Rabbi's position over here. Rabbi Natan Omer, Kosh Zakuk L'Rishon, Zakuk L'Sheni. Rabbi Natan says, if you were Chayav when Pesach Rishon came about, Zakuk L'Sheni, then you bring a Pesach Sheni. Kosh Ein Zakuk L'Rishon, if you were not Chayav during Pesach Rishon, in Zakuk L'Sheni, because Sheni is Tashlumim D'Rishon. Sheni is a makeup for the first one. And therefore, you can only avail yourself of the makeup if you are chayav in the first one, and then you can use the makeup date. But if you weren't chayav in the first one, then to do a makeup for something that you weren't chayav in is not meaningful, and therefore you would not be chayav. And obviously, not being chayav in Pesach Rishon doesn't mean that you had some exemption, but it means that you were not party that could be obligated, like a katan or like a goy, who would not be chayav at all. If you're tamei, then yes, you were chayav, but you had a technical problem that didn't allow you to bring it. That's when you can avail yourself of the Tashlumim, even according to Rabbi Natan. B'maika miflegei, what is the machloket here between these three Tanaim? Rabbi Savar, Sheni Regel Bifnei Atzmo. Rabbi believes that Sheni is an independent Regel. Rabbi Natan Savar, Sheni Tashlumim Derishon Ho. Rabbi Natan believes that Sheni is a makeup for the first one. Tikuni Derishon Lo Matkinle. On the other hand, it cannot fix whatever happened in Pesach Rishon. And therefore, according to Rabbi Natan, at least according to Rashi, if you fail to bring Pesach Rishon b'mezid, you could still bring Pesach Sheni to make up for the fact that you didn't bring it, but that won't change the fact that you're chayav karet for missing Pesach Rishon. So it has the ability to be tashlumim. It does not have the ability to rectify that which you did wrong with Pesach Rishon. Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya Savar, on the other hand, Rabbi Akavya ben Akavya believes Sheni, not only is it tashlumim de Rishon, but it's takanta de Rishon ho. Not only does it make up, you can fill in for the Rishon that you missed, it also fixes it, meaning that if you did something wrong with Pesach Rishon, if you bring the Pesach Sheni, then you will be exempted or you will not face the punishment of karet for whatever you did in Pesach Rishon. If you fail to bring Pesach Sheni, then you will not have the Tashlumim and you will not have the rectification. If that's the case, you will be chayav karet. Now what is not clear over here is, according to Rabbi, who believes that Sheni is a regel bifnei atzmo, what happens if you do Pesach Sheni? What type of influence does that have on Pesach Rishon? Meaning that if you don't do it, we know you're chayav karet for Pesach Rishon. Question is, if you do Pesach Sheni, What influence does it have? Now, from Rashi, in Rabbi Natan's Shita, Rashi says that even though Rabbi Natan believes it's Tashlumim, it doesn't rectify the situation, and you will still be Chayav Karet, even if you brought a Pesach Sheni, according to Rabbi Natan. If you extrapolate that view of Rashi to Rabbi, who says that the Pesach Sheni is not even a Tashlumim to the Rishon, then that would imply that even if you brought the Pesach Sheni, it would do nothing to help you out with regards to Pesach Rishon. On the other hand, the Rambam, who paskins like Rabbi, says that even according to Rabbi, if you bring the Korban Pesach Sheni, you are patur min a karet. And that means that only if you fail to bring Pesach Sheni, will you be chayav karet independently on Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. Or for instance, if you were shogeg on Pesach Sheni and didn't bring it, then you'll be chayav for the mezid on Pesach Rishon because you didn't rectify that situation. And therefore, according to the Rambam, even in Rabbi's Shita, you have the ability to rectify Pesach Rishon and not be chayav karet. It's not clear if he believes that's also true of Rabbi Natan, but again, we have Rashi's position with regards to Rabbi Natan and the Rambam's position with regards to Rabbi. Question is, does Rabbi's position for the Rambam also apply to Rabbi Natan? And vice versa, does Rashi's position with Rabbi Natan also apply to Rabbi's position? And that is the question which the Rambam paskins that, according to Rabbi, if you do a Pesach Sheni, you will not be Chayav Karet, even if you miss Pesach Rishon B'Mezid, according to Rabbi. Now the Gemara says, "Ushlishtam mikra echad darshu." All three of them were doresh a single pasuk, and that is the pasuk that is found in Parashat Balotcha with regards to Pesach Sheni. We saw it back on Tzadi Aleph, and we there discussed some of this issue, which is Vaish asher hu tohor ubederech lo haya, person who was tohor and he wasn't far away, v'chadal lasot haPesach, and he failed to bring Pesach Rishon, v'nechrotai nefesh ahi me'ameha. That individual is chayav karet. Ki. This word ki is essential because we're not sure what ki means in this context, and we'll explain that in 1 second. Kurban Hashem lo yikriv. He did not bring the Kurban of Hashem, but mo'ado at the proper time. Cheto isa ishahu. He will therefore carry his chet. The word ki, the Gemara is going to say, can be interpreted in 4 different ways. And that is that the word ki can mean e, if. It can mean dilma or shema, maybe ella. It can mean but, or it can mean daha, which means shahare, or because. So the word ki, we find it manifest in all these different ways in Chumash and in Tanakh. And therefore the question here is, in our situation, what does the ki mean? So the first option is Rabbi's explanation of the pasuk, and this is what he says. Ve'ish asher hu tohor b'derech lo haya, the reish of the pasuk, Rabbi savar, v'chadal asot haPesach v'nichrata. Since he didn't do Pesach Rishon, there's a chiyuv karet, the law of Rabbi Rishon, because he didn't do Pesach Rishon. Then the word ki, he interprets as inami. Now this is interesting because the word ki never appears as inami. It's not one of the 4 options that we had. Ki is e, if. So now it could be that he's interpreting it as if, but if he's interpreting it as if, we're going to see later on that that's Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya's position. And then how does Rabbi differentiate it? The Gemara clearly here thinks his inami, also, or if also, Korban Hashem lo yikriv b'mo'ado b'sheni, if he doesn't bring the Korban Pesach b'sheni, he is also chayav karet, because there it says, cheto isa ishahu. The Gemara will discuss in 1 second how you know that means that he's chayav karet. But what you see from the ki of Rabbi is 1 of 2 things. Rashi says the word ki, many times in Chumash, is used to start a new topic. And that means that it's the introduction to a new item or a new halacha in the Torah. So even though it's starting out if, it doesn't really mean if as conditional to something that happened before, but if as something prospectively. If the following after what is written by here, ki, happens, and here will be ki, korban Hashem le'ikriv. This new item, which is, if you don't bring the korban Hashem on time, which means in Pesach Sheni, cheto isa ishahu. That's 1 way to deal with it. Whereas the Rashash makes a suggestion that sometimes ki is used as o, and that's what it means over here, or. And that's the understanding of Rabbi here, that you have 2 parts to the pasuk. The first half of the pasuk speaks about Pesach Rishon. The second half of the pasuk speaks about Pesach Sheni. So Pesach Rishon, the pasuk's clear, if you don't bring it, you're going to get karet. Now, the second half of the pasuk, which is speaking about Pesach Sheni, it says also, if you didn't bring it, cheto isa, which Rabbi's assuming means karet. And that's what the Gemara asks now, we might the cheto isa karetu. How do we know that the word cheto isa in the pasuk means karet? Kasavar migadeif, hainu mivarei Hashem. That's because he believes that migadeif, which is found in Parshat Shlach, which is a cryptic word that's used in the Chumash, and we don't know what exactly means. It's a machloket Tanaim in Masechet Kretot. One opinion is that Megadeif means Mevarechet Hashem. That is, euphemistically, means someone who curses Hashem. And that's one possibility of Megadeif. The other possibility of Megadeif is someone who plays music and makes songs or sings songs to Avodah Zarah, saying here that Rabbi is subscribing to the opinion that Megadev is Merech Hashem, Uchdev in Varech Hashem, and it says by Merech Hashem in Parshat Emor, Benasa Acheto. So in the Parshat Mikalel, in Parshat Emor, it says with regards to someone who is Mevarech Hashem, meaning Mikalel at Hashem, Vel B'nei Yisrael to the Berlin Mor, Ish Ish, Ki Akelel Alukav, Benasa Acheto. That's the same terminology that's used over here. Nasa Cheto or Cheto Isa. So there's a Gzeir Shava between Mikalel that's found in Parshat Emor and our Parshat Bat Lotchav Cheto Isa. The only question is, what's the punishment for a Mikalel? That, Rabbi says, is based on the Pasuk in Parshat Shlach that says, V'nefesh asher taseh biyad rama min ha'ezrach min ha'ger et ha'shem hu migadeif v'nichrata nefesh ahi mikarev ama. So if you believe that the migadeif there is a mevarech et ha'shem, then we know what the punishment now is for a Mikalel at Hashem. That's v'nichrata nefeshahi mikarev ama. So now that we know that Mikalel gets karet, go back to Parshat Emor, where it says, v'nasach eto. Nasach eto means karet. Now I take that nasach eto here, and I bring it back to Sachim, in Parshat Balotcha, where it says cheto isa. So cheto isa from Gzir Shava teaches me that you're chayav karet. And therefore, according to Rabbi, you're chayav karet, both for Pesach Rishon and for Pesach Sheni. That is because Gamar, Cheto dehocha, he learns the cheto of Pesach Sheni, mecheto dehatam, from the cheto of Mikalel Hashem. Malahalan karet, just like over there it's a karet, avka nami karet. So to over here, by Pesach Sheni, it's a chiyuv karet. Rabbi Notan savar. Rabbi Notan reads day differently. Mechadal asot haPesach v'nichrita. Pesach Rishon you don't do, you're gonna get a chayuv karet. The high key, lashon dehohu. The word key afterwards, when it says key, is because, deha, or since. Why is the reason that you're going to get karet for Pesach Rishon? Ki korban Hashem lo yikrivim odo. Because you didn't bring Pesach Rishon, cheto isa isho. Therefore, you're going to get a chiyuv karet. Meaning that Pesach Sheni is not mentioned in the Pasuk at all, which is the Pashtura Pasuk, that it's all about Pesach Rishon. The second half of the Pasuk is the explanation for the first half. Why are you going to get karet if you didn't bring Pesach? Because you didn't bring the korban Hashem bimo odo. You didn't bring it in its proper time, and therefore, cheto isa. You're going to carry the burden of that sin. Dehai cheto isa mayovile. Then what does he do with the cheto isa at the end of the pasuk? Kasavar migadeif lav hainu mevarechet Hashem. He holds like the other Tana in Masechet Kretot that migadeif is not mikalel et Hashem, but rather someone who's mizamer or mishorer la avodah zarah. But then we don't know what the punishment is for mikalel, because migadeif, we know the punishment over there is karet. But by the parsha of mikalel, all it says is v'nasach cheto. So how do I know what that nasach cheto is? So I'm going to run the Gezer Shav in the opposite direction for Rabbi Natan. The Gemar Chai Cheto Dehotam. We learn the Nasa Cheto by the Mekalel, Mehai Cheto Dehocha, from Cheto Isa by the Pesach. And just like by the Pesach, it's Mahocha Karet, because the second half of the Pesach is the explanation of the first half, and we know from the first half that we're talking about a Karet. Fatam Karet, so too by the Mekalel would also be Karet. Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya Savar, Chadal Asot HaPetzach, V'nichrita, I Korban Hashem lo yikriv imo'ado. So he learns the word key to mean if. But not like Rabbi, where he said if was the beginning of a new statement, or that it meant or, according to Rabbi. He means literally, if. If you didn't do Pesach Rishon, you're Chayav Karet. When is that true? I Korban Hashem lo yikriv imo'ado. If you didn't bring Pesach Sheni, if you didn't bring it to Sheni, then you're going to be Chayav Karet for Pesach Rishon. And that's why he said before that it's a makeup. Pesach Sheni is a makeup for Pesach Rishon. Now is it a makeup? It's a rectifier. V'hai cheto isa ma'avidlei. What does he do with cheto isa at the end of the pasuk? Kedam ran. Like we said earlier, with regards to Rabbi Natan's position, he's not trying to learn karet by Pesach Sheni, because he thinks Pesach Sheni is subordinate to Pesach Rishon. And the reason you're going to be chayav in Pesach Rishon is if you don't take care of it in Pesach Sheni. But Pesach Sheni doesn't have an independent chiyuv karet with it. And therefore, the cheto isa at the end of the pasuk teaches you, like Rabbi Natan, that by Mikalel et Hashem, where it says Nasach Cheto, that that's a chiyuv karet, just like it's a chiyuv karet here by Pesach, it's a chiyuv karet by Mevarech et Hashem, and the Pasuk of Megadeif in Parshat Shlach, which says karet explicitly, is not talking about a Mikalel Hashem, it's talking about a Mizamer or Mishorer, Avodah Zarah, and that's chiyuv karet, has nothing to do with Pesach or Mevarech et Hashem. Hilkach. So here's a summary of all their opinions. Hizid Bezeh Bezeh. If he intentionally did not bring Pesach Rishon, did not bring Pesach Sheni, divrei akol chayav. According to everyone, you are chayav. Now it sounds like, according to Rashi, it says chad karet. You only chayav one karet over here. Now according to Rabbi Natan, and according to Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya, that's obvious, because they only have one karet. That's for Pesach Rishon. But according to both of them, you failed to bring Pesach Sheni, and there is nothing to speak about. For Rabbi, who has both for a karet for Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, you would have thought that you're chayav two karetot, Rashi, the Shita Tos, says you're only chayav one karet, you can't be chayav karet twice. And here again, the Gemara seems to be supportive of that because they don't say, according to Rabbi, you're chayav karet twice. It only says chayav, the same way that Rabbi Natan and Rabbi Hanani ben Akavya say you're chayav, means that you're chayav once, and that would be then supportive of that view of Rashi. On the other hand, Shagag Bazeh, Ubazeh, if you unintentionally miss Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, Divrei HaKol Patur. According to everyone, you're Patur because you can't be Chayav Karet unless you do something intentionally. Over here, you didn't fail to bring Pesach Rishon or Pesach Sheni intentionally, and therefore you're Patur Mi Karet. Hezivi Rishon, if you intentionally missed Pesach Rishon, but Shagag and then accidentally missed Pesach Sheni, the Rabbi Uli Rabbi Notan Mechayvei, according to both Rabbi and Rabbi Notan, you're Chayav. According to Rabbi, you're Chayav because Pesach Rishon stands independently of Pesach Sheni. Pesach Sheni is not a rectification for Pesach Rishon. And even according to the Rambam, who thinks it is a rectification, you didn't do it. And since you didn't do it, according to Rabbi, you're Chayav Karet for Pesach Rishon. And according to Rabbi Notan, the same is true. Rabbi Notan believes that Pesach Rishon stands independently, and you are Chayav Karet if you don't do it. Now, if you do Pesach Sheni, it's Tashlumim, but it does not rectify. But over here, you didn't do that rectification, so it doesn't matter, you're going to be Chayav Karet. Whereas according to Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya, you're going to be Patur, because the only time you're Chayav Karet is if you fail to bring Pesach Rishon, and then you fail again to bring Pesach Sheni. But here, when you failed the second time, you only failed Bishogeg. And therefore, that second failure is influential on the first failure, and therefore, you're going to be Patur Mi Karet, because you only failed B'mezid on the Rishon, but on the Sheni, it was an accident, or it was unintentional, and therefore, you're going to be Patur Mi Karet. On the other hand, if it's the other way around, Shagag B'Rishon, if you unintentionally miss Pesach Rishon, B'hezid B'Sheni, and then you intentionally miss Pesach Sheni, the Rabbi Chayav, this is the one place where Rabbi's opinion is really going to make a big difference, one place where Rabbi's position makes a big difference, which is that there's an independent karet for Pesach Sheni. And therefore, since you failed to do Pesach Sheni in a B'mezid, according to Rabbi, you're going to be Chayav Karet. Just like for Rabbi, a ger and a katan bring Pesach Sheni, even though they were not Chayavim and Pesach Rishon. The Rabbi Natan and Hananya ben Akavya, who both believe that Pesach Sheni is a makeup for Pesach Rishon and doesn't have an independent karet, the karet is all associated with Pesach Rishon, then Patur, you're not going to be Chayav Karet. Okay, now we begin the next Mishnah, which comes to define what is the Derech Rechoka, and this is the Machloka that we mentioned before between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Eliezer. Ezui Derech Rechoka, what does it mean to be far away from Yerushalayim, that you're Patur from Pesach Rishon? Mina Modim Ulechutz, Ukamidata Lechol Ruach, Divi Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva says it's the distance that one covers from Modi'in until Yerushalayim, that we'll see in a second is the amount of time that would put you out of reach or range to be there in time to bring the Korban at Pesach. And we draw a radius that creates a circle all the way around Yerushalayim to the distance of Modi'in. And you just do that same radius all around. If you're further out than that radius, then you're not going to be a chayav to bring a Pesach Rishon. That's Rabbi Kiva's view. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Biskopat Azara Ulachutz. If you're outside the Azara, that's enough to say that you're derech rechoka. We don't take derech rechoka literally. It's derech rechoka, just a figurative derech rechoka. Amalei Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi, in support of that contention of Rabbi Lezer, says, lefikach nakuda lehei. Therefore, there's a dot on top of the hey in the word rechoka. Derech rechoka, and then hey, there's a dot. Lomar, lo mipnei shirachok vadai. Not because you're really too far away. El miskobad azara lechutz. But rather, you're outside the azara. Rashi says that whenever a letter or a word has a dot on top of it, it means drop that word. Derech rechoka is not literally rechoka because you're dropping the rechoka and it's just bederech. As long as you're not in the azara, you're already considered to be bederech rechoka. The way that the Bar Tanura in the Mishnah explains it is that the rechoka with the dot and the hey means split the word in half and say the derech rechok, hey. That means if you're five amot or more outside of the azara, then you're considered to be derech rechoka. It's giving you the measurement of how rechok, hey. And that's what the dot and the hay is coming to tell you, that even five amot outside of the azara is enough, because four amot we consider to be your personal space, and therefore if it was overlapping with the azara, it would be as if you were there. But as soon as you were five amot or more outside of the azara, you're already considered to be b'derech rechoka. That's Rabbi Eliezer's view, supported by Rabbi Yossi's drosha on the letter hay that has the dot on top of it. So now, what does it mean that you are min amodim ulachutz? Amar ula min amodim liushalayim chamisha asar milin havyo. The distance between Modin and Yerushalayim is 15 mil, which is interesting only because 15 mil in the modern parlance is about equivalent, depending on the Chazon Ish, Rav Chaim Naeh, the Rambam, comes out to be about a kilometer per mil. If that's the case, then Modin would be only 15 kilometers outside of Yerushalayim, and that would be something that would be doable in less than 6 hours, So we'll have to deal with that in a moment when we deal with the Baalei HaTosafot. But Chamesheh Esar Milim seems to be a very small distance. And the modern day Modi'in, where nearby is the ancient Modi'in, is probably 35, 40 kilometers outside of Yerushalayim. And therefore we'd have to reconcile that with what's being said in the Gemara here. So the Gemara explains, how did Ula know that? He subscribes to this view of Rabba Bar Chanan in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that Kama Malech Adam Bayom. How far is the normal distance a person can traverse in a day walking at a normal pace? Asara parsaot. It's 10 parsa. Every parsa is equal to 4 mil. That means that a person can cover 40 mil over a regular day. From dawn until sunrise, a person can cover the ground of 5 mil. From sunset until the stars come out is also chameshet milim. Takes, you can cover, you can traverse 5 mil. So if I take the 40 mil that a person covers in a day, 5 of those are allocated from dawn until sunrise, and then 5 of those are allocated from sunset until tzeita kochavim. That leaves me the remainder of 30 mil. Those pashalot tlatin, you have 30 mil left. Chamesar mitzafra lepal gadiyoma. 15 of those mil you cover from sunrise until noon, and 15 of those you cover from noon until sunset. And Ula is Litame, Ula is Lishitato, who says that Ula ezu derech rechoka. What's considered to be too far? I mean, according to Rabbi Akiva's definition, what does it mean that you're too far of Yishlaim? Kol she'en yochol ikanes b'shat shchita. Anybody who can't get there during the period of time of shat shchita, when you would be chayav in shchita. Now, thinking about the shchita to Korban Pesach, Shkita Korban Pesach is from noon until sunset. And that's because once you hit sunset, you can't put dam on the Mizbeach anymore. You can't bring the Korban anymore. It starts at noon because we learned that it's Brad Ben Arabayim. Tosafot has an interesting question on Ula. How does Ula know that the Zman HaShkita only goes from noon until sunset? All we know about the din of Kodashim is that you have to do it Beyom, if it's during the day. The Gemara Megillah says day is from dawn until Tzeita Kochavim. If that's the case, then you should be qualified to bring the Korban of the Shechita from noon until Tzeita Kochavim, which means it'll be more than 6 hours. And he says he's not sure how Ula knew for sure that the cutoff for Shechita and the Zrikat Adam was at Shkia. Now the truth is, the Gemara says that the earliest the Tamid was brought was when Erev Pesach fell out on Erev Shabbat, and that was at 12:30. That would mean that the Korban Pesach is not really full 6 hours, it's only 5.5 hours. It's from 12:30. Until 6 o'clock. So Rashi over here makes the point that even though the Talmid Shel Ben Arbaim is brought 6.5 hours onto the day at 12:30, Min HaTorah Mitchilat Sheva Ve'Elech. Really from a Torah, starting in the 7th hour, meaning at noon, you would be able to bring the Korban Talmid Shel Ben Arbaim. The reason that we don't do that is because the walls of the Beit HaMikdash are thick, and given the thickness of the wall, the shadow cast by the sun only comes up 1/2 hour later. The Gemara in Yoma brings another explanation, which is that people can't be so meduyak about chatzot, therefore we give ourselves some leeway so we don't make a mistake. But Min HaTorah, according to Rashi, the afternoon starts at noon and not at 12:30. This has major nafkaminot with regards to when is the Zman HaMincha Gedolah really start. We say Mincha Gedolah starts at 12:30, but that's not necessarily true Min HaTorah. Min HaTorah really starts at noon, and that's what Rashi's saying over here. Now, there's a number of Rashis. The Rashi here, the Rashi back on Daf Nun Chet, Rashi in Daf Hey, and the Rashi in Yoma, and there seems to be a stira between the Rashis as to whether midoraita, the afternoon starts at noon, and it's just midorabanan, we push it off until 12:30, or whether meikar adin starts at 12:30. So Rashi in Yoma, daf kuf ched amud bet, says about michi shachrei katle, that the walls caused a shadow to be cast. So from there it makes it sound like this issue of the casting the shadow was a dindoraita, and that Zman HaMincha doesn't begin until the shadow is cast, and even though the walls are thicker, there's a point in time which is in between where there is no shadow cast because it's directly above, and therefore only at 12:30, 6.5 hours into the day, does the Zman HaMincha begin. That's the way Rashi sounds like in Yoma, as well as Rashi back on Daf Nun Chet seems to be soter himself. Over there in the beginning, he says that it's a takanto de Rabbonon, but then he continues afterwards and says, from 11:30 till 12:30, the sun is directly above. Doesn't seem to move. So again here, Rashi seems to be indicating that this is a dindo raita, whereas Rashi on our daf over here, as well as Rashi at the beginning of the Masechta on daf Hey Amud Aleph, seems to be unequivocal that it's all a dindo rabbonon, that midoraita starting at noon it is kasher. That's why the Isur Chametz, on Pesach starts at noon, because that's the time of Shechitat HaPesach, starting at noontime. So you have Rashi in some places indicating that Midoraita, it starts at noon, like over here in Daf Hey. In Yoma, and back on Daf Nun Chet, it's a little more unclear, and it makes it sound like there that Rashi thinks that Midoraita, the Zman Shechitat HaPesach, really only starts at 6.5 hours onto the day, or at 12:30. Again, that would have nafkamino if a person davens, or for some reason, Bishat Chak needs to daven Mincha before 12:30, but from 12, is that already the Zman HaMincha B'diavad, but we just wait because of the Din Darabonon, or is there no Din of Mincha there at all, because there was no time that you could doing the Korban during that first half an hour? What Ula says is that since the Zman HaShechita goes from noon until sunset, and he believes that you have to be Derech Rechuka, you have to be so far out that you won't get there in time for the Shechita, which means that you're outside of the amount of time that it would take you to walk from wherever you are now to get to Yerushalayim in time for the Shechita. And we just said that half a day or 6 hours on the day, you could traverse 15 mil. And that's what Ula just explains over here. The Shita of Rabba Bar Chanan Rabbi Yochanan that tells us the amount of distance a person can traverse in a day is 40 mil. 15 of those mil are from noon until sunset. That's what we just said, that the distance that Modi'in is from Yerushalayim is 15 mil, because according to him, that would take you 6 hours to traverse, and those 6 hours would cover the entire Zman HaShechita, and since you were beyond that location, you wouldn't get there in time to do the Shechita de Korban Pesach, classified as being B'derech Rechoka. And that's the view of Ula B'Shitato. Now the Gemara explains, Amamar goes to explain, how do we know that Rabbi Bar Chana, Rabbi Yochanan's position there, Ma'alot HaShach V'Netzach Chama, Chamesh Milin Minolon, how do we know you're able to traverse that amount between dawn and sunrise, dichtiv, because it says by lo to kumo shachar Allah, which is dawn, vayutzu malachim, and then the malachim are pressing him to leave, uchtiv, and then when he leaves stone, it says shemesh yatzal aretz, lot bat zohra, and lot, who escapes from stone, asks the malachim that he can go to tzohar, and he reaches tzohar at sunrise. From Rabbi Chanina, the didi chazali yawatra, I saw that location between stone and tzohar, v'havia chamisha milim, and that's 5 mil. So that's how we know that the amount of distance that can be covered at normal pace between dawn and sunrise is 5 mil. And the assumption will be that the same is true on the back end, which is that between sunset and darkness, you'd also have 5 mil that you could cover. And that leaves us the 30 mil in the middle of the day. According to the way we're explaining it now, it would take an individual to about 24 minutes to walk a mil, because we are assuming now that there's 30 mil traversed over a 12-hour day. And therefore, if you take 12 divided by 30, you get 40%, and 40% times 60 minutes in an hour would give you 24 minutes per meal. We're saying in tomorrow's daf that there's a view that the 40 meal is the amount of the 12 hours, and therefore it'd be 12 divided by 40, which is 30% times the 60 minutes. That would give you 18 minutes per meal, which is the shita, which is what we generally believe. And then we're going to see tomorrow's daf that the shita about how much time traverses between dawn and sunrise is actually 4 mil and not 5 mil. If you take 4 times 18, you get the Rabbeinu Tam shita of 72 minutes, which we'll discuss much more in depth in tomorrow's daf. Whereas over here you have the shita that is sometimes followed by Chabad of 90 minutes, which is the 5 times the 18 will give you 90 minutes. Although, if you keep it consistent over here, it would actually be 5 times 24 minutes, and that would be 120 minutes, which is some of those people that are choshesh for Rabbeinu Tam Shita and wait 120 minutes after Shabbat. That's how we get to Ula's position that Modi'in is 15 mil outside of Yerushalayim, because that's the amount of time that it would take a person to traverse in half a day. And half a day is the amount of time that there's Zman Shechita. And Ula says that as long as you're not there for Zman Shechita, you're considered to be Derech Rechuka. So if you're anywhere more than 15 mil outside of Yerushalayim, you're not going to make it in time to be there for the Zman Shechita. Gufa, Gemara brings now the machloka between Ula and Rav Yehuda with regards to what is Derech Rechuka. Amar Ula, Ezu Derech Rechuka, Koshein Yecholi Kaneis B'Shat Shechita. If you can't make it there during the Zman Shechita, that 6 hour window, then you are Derech Rechuka and you are Patur. Yudomer, Koshein Yecholi Kaneis B'Shat Achila. It'd be far enough out that you won't make it there not only for the Shechita, but you also won't make it there for the Achila. That means that according to Rabbi Eliezer, who thinks that Midoraita, the Korban Pesach ends at Chatzot, that means an additional 6 hours, you have to be 12 hours outside of Yerushalayim in order for you not to make it there in time to be considered or classified as Derech Rechuka. According to Rabbi Akiva, who thinks that Midoraita, Korban Pesach, is Kol HaLaila, and only the Chachamim backed it up to Chatzot because of our Chokah, then you would have an extra 12 hours. It means that you have to be more than 18 hours outside of Yerushalayim, 18 hours worth of travel outside of Yerushalayim to be classified as Derech Rechuka. To which the Balei HaTosafot would say, it seems ludicrous that they have opinions that are so far apart. And then how did you have a situation in which they're arguing in the position of Rabbi Kiva in the Mishnah, who says, Mina Modin min lachutz, from Modin and out. Ula is saying that it's 6 hours from Modin into Yerushalayim. And Rabbi Yehuda is saying either 12 or 18 hours from Modin into Yerushalayim. That's not a reasonable machloket between them. So Tosafot gives two answers. The first answer that he gives is, Yesh tomar di statam drachim, that there are blockages along the way. And you can read that in a number of different ways. One possibility to read that is that there's traffic. It's a situation on Erev Pesach. Everybody's trying to get up to Yerushalayim, so there's traffic. And therefore, it's going to take you much longer to get in. So even though you're going from Modi'in, Rabbi Yehuda is saying that it's going to take you 12 hours or 18 hours, even though the normal time it would take you is 6 hours, because of the amount of traffic that's on the way or the amount of people that are trying to get into Yerushalayim at that time. The other possibility is that today, the normal route that they took from Modi'in to Yerushalayim has been overrun. Meaning that there's been landslides, there have been rock movements, there's been all sorts of topographical changes in the distance between Modin and Yerushalayim, to the point where we don't know anymore what the route that they used to take was. And therefore, since we don't know the route they used to take, we don't know if the route is this circuitous route or a very direct route. And therefore, we don't know if from Modin was 6 hours or Modin was 12 or 18 hours. Again, that might help out with, again, the situation with the modern day Modi'in, which is much further out. That would actually make more sense according to the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda here. That actually would take you much longer to get in. And that also, again, might be related to the route that was used to get from Modi'in to Yerushalayim. How direct was it, or how circuitous was it? Because they don't have evidence of what that route was. That's one answer that Tosafot gives. The answer Tosafot gives is that Rabbi Akiva believes that Tchumim are Midoraita. That means that if you're not within Tchum Shabbat or Tchum Yom Tov by the time Pesach comes in, you're not going to be able to travel into Yerushalayim. And therefore, the difference between Rabbi Yehuda and Ula is very small. Ula says you have to get there within the time period that you could be there for Shkita. So from Modin and inwards, you'll make it just in time. You'll be there less than 6 hours, and you'll be there for Zman Shkita, and therefore you're Chayav. According to Rabbi Yehuda, he thinks it's a little longer. It'll take you a drop longer than 6 hours, and you'll be still 2,000 amot outside of Yerushalayim. If you're outside the Tchum coming into Yom Tov, you will not be able to enter into Yerushalayim, and therefore, from Modi'in until Yerushalayim will not only put you outside of the realm of getting there for Shkita, but also put you outside the realm of getting there for Hachila, because you will not be able to continue, because you'll be outside the Tchum of Yerushalayim. And therefore, the difference between them is 2,000 Amot, which is a reasonable difference in their assessment of how far Modi'in is from Yerushalayim. That's the second answer that the Balei HaTosafot give. So now, Amalei Rova Lu'ula. Rova says to Ula, Lididach Kasha, I have a problem with your opinion. Well, Rabbi Yehuda Kasha, I have a problem with Rabbi Yehuda's position. And that is based on your positions back on Daf Tzadi. We saw back on Daf Tzadi that Rabbi Yehuda and Ula argue about what is the din of Shochtim Zorkim al Tamei Sheretz. The Didach Kasher for you, it's a problem to Amart. You said, Kol Shein Yochol Ikanes B'Shat Shkita. Anybody who can't get in time for Shkita, Ha Tamei Sheretz. In the case of a Tamei Sheretz, then Yochol Ikanes B'Shat Shkita. You're unable to bring the Korban of Pesach during the Zman of Shkita. Kamart Shochtim Zorkim al Tamei Sheretz. And your opinion back on Daf Tzadi was that you can bring a korban on behalf of a person who's Tamei Sheretz. So even though they're not qualified or they're not able to come in during the Zman HaShchita, only in Zman HaChila, yet they're still considered to be someone who is Chayav to bring a korban Pesach, and you do bring a korban Pesach on their behalf. So why don't we say the same thing here? Just because the person's outside of Yerushalayim and can't reach there in time to be there for Zman HaShchita, but he will be there for Zman HaChila. So have someone else bring it on his behalf, and when he gets to the Zman HaChila, he'll participate in the korban of Pesach. And for Rabbi Yehuda, it's a position. He says that in order to be considered b'derech rechuka, you have to be not there both for the Zman Shkita and for the Zman Achila. Tamei Sheretz, who only can't be there during Zman Shkita, but by nightfall he'll be tahor and mikamar ain't shochtim zokim al Tamei Sheretz. And yet he says you're not allowed to bring a korban pesach on behalf of Tamei Sheretz. The Tamei Sheretz can't be there for Shkita, but he'll be there for Achila. And even though he's there for Achila, he says you can't bring it. Yet over here he's saying if you're there for Achila, you're not considered to be B'derech Rechoka. You both seem to have contradictory opinions over here. So Amalei, so Ula says back to him, Lo didi kasho, it's not a question on me, Lo the Rabbi Yehuda kasho. And Rabbi Yehuda, who is the opposing party, I also defend his position as well. Lo didi lo kasho, according to me it's not a question. The truth is that you could have brought the question on Ula, not just from Ula's opinion, that Shochtim Zorkim al Tamei Sheretz, you could have brought it from the remainder of the Mishnah where everybody agrees that you bring it on Erev Pesach, that someone's already gone through the mikveh, as Tosafot points out. Because once they've gone through the mikveh, everybody agrees you shecht on such a person who is Tamei, even though they won't be Tahor tonight. So even though they're outside the realm of Shkita, they're in the realm of Achila, and we do shecht on them, why are you able to do that if by Derech Rechoka you're not allowed to do that? Tosfot says that they just brought the question in the form that he did because it's Ula l'shitato, and it shows a discrepancy in his shita. She says, it's not a question for me because Derech Rechoka l'tahor, vein Derech Rechoka l'tameh. Derech Rechoka is only an issue for someone who is tahor. And that is because the way the pasuk is framed in Parshat Balotcha is Ish ish ki etameh l'nefesh u'derech rechoka l'chem l'dor d'chem v'asa pesach l'ashem. And Pesach was brought during that time that he was tameh or derech rechoka. So you see that derech rechoka is associated with asiya, with the bringing of the Korban Pesach. And that means that if you can't be there during the asiya, derech rechoka takes you out of the picture. Whereas by tameh, even though tameh is found in that same pasuk, and you would think that Tamei also has to do with Asiyah, we know that Tamei doesn't have to do with Asiyah because can overcome the problem of Tumah by sending his Korbanot with someone else. That's why Rashi explains the first explanation of Rashi. Or the second explanation of Rashi, which is the same explanation that the Tosfot gives, which is, it says Tamei Nefesh, and it doesn't pick someone who's a Baal Keri or a Tamei Sheretz. Why did it specifically pick about someone who is Tamei Mate? That must be because his Tamei Mate is different than Tamei Sheretz and Tamei Baal Keri, because they're only Tumat Yom. Tumat Mate extends for a larger span of time. And therefore, the Tumah that we're speaking about here has to be Tumah that affects not only Shechita, but also Achila. Otherwise, the Torah could have brought an example of Tamei Sheretz or Tamei Baal Keri, who would be Tamei during the period of time of Shechita and Tahor later on. The fact that it didn't do that and brought somebody who has longer Tumah comes to show you that the Tumah must be Tumah that affects both the Shechita and the Achila. And so what Ula is saying is that there are different measuring sticks. The rights of Derech Rechoka, the measuring stick is Asiyah. Can you do the Pesach or not? Doing the Pesach means doing Shechita, the Pesach, being the Korban of Pesach. That's during the period of time of 6 hours between noon and sunset. That's when you need to bring the Korban of Pesach. And if you're not there during that time, you're considered to be Derech Rechoka. That's Derech Rechoka l'tahor. By Tamei, the question is, can you participate in eating the Korban Pesach? Tumah ruins your ability to eat the Korban Pesach, because you could send it with a shliach, and you could still eat it, then we let it go by. So Tumah is not impactful with regards to your ability to do Shechita, it's impactful with your ability to eat the Korban Pesach. Or the way that the Baya Tosafot and Rashi said in the second review is, that Tumah is impactful because you pick Tumat Mate, which extends over a larger period of time, which includes Shechita and Achila, and therefore Tumah is speaking to a problem of your ability to consume the Korban Pesach, not just to bring the Korban Pesach. And that's why by Tumat Sheretz, I say, if you can eat the Pesach that night, Tumah is not a preclusion. Whereas by Derech Rechoka, if you can't bring the Korban Pesach, you're not there for Zman HaShechita, because that's the Asiyah, then you consider it to be Derech Rechoka. Rabbi Yehuda lo kasha. Rabbi Yehuda, it's also not a question. Tamei Sheretz, Rachmana Dachye. When it comes to Tamei Sheretz, the Torah says you can't bring it. Tichtiv, ish ish kiya Tamei l'nefesh. Where the case of is a case of Tumata Nefesh, Tumata Mei, Milo Askinan, like we saw back on Daf Tzadi, this is the view of Rabbi Yehuda, Shechal Shvi Shalo Liot Erev Pesach. It's the seventh day of him being a Tamei Mate, and it falls out on Erev Pesach. And even so, that the seventh day falls out on Pesach, the Torah says he gets pushed off. So seventh day of Tumata Mate is the same thing as Tumat Sheretz. And despite that fact, the Torah says you're pushed off. It's a gzeret ha-katuv, that even though you're ra'ui la'achila, and you're only precluded from Shechita, the Torah says you can't participate in the Korban HaPesach if you are Tamei. On the other hand, Derech Rechoka doesn't have that gzeret ha-katuv, and therefore if you were able to make it there for the Achila, that would be sufficient grounds for being not considered Derech Rechoka. You need to be out of the picture both for Shechita and Achila, because you don't have a gzeret ha-katuv, and therefore Derech Rechoka is measured by whether you're going to be there at all, both for the Shechita and the Achila, and not just for the Shechita, not just measured by the Shechita. And therefore he differentiates his opinion between Tumat Sheretz, which is a gzeret ha-katuv, that even though he's ra'oi la'achila, he can't bring his korban, whereas Derech Rechoka will be measured not by gzeret ha-katuv, but by the normal assumption that if you can make it there for Achila, you should be able to participate in the korban, and therefore if you have to be Derech Rechoka, you need to be far enough away that you're not going to make it there for the Achila. Now Tosfot says, didn't we just see before in the beginning of today's daf that Rabbi Kiva says that there's a hekesh or a comparison between Derech Rechoka and Tumah Tameit? Like Rabbi Akiva said before, Tameit teaches me about Derech Rechoka. Why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda subscribe to that? So Tosfot says that Rabbi Yehuda believes that the two cases are not really comparable, and that is because with regards to a Tameit, the Tameit is precluded from doing Shechita because there's something wrong with him. He has a problem that he cannot overcome, which is Tumah. Later on in the night, he will overcome that, and then he'll be able to eat. On the other hand, with regards to Derech Rechoka, he's mechusar biya. There's nothing wrong with him. There's nothing that precludes him from bringing the korban. He's just too far away. He can't get there. And therefore, you can't compare the two cases. The problem with one is just distance. The other problem with the other is that you have a halachic problem, which is that this individual is tamei, and therefore he thinks that you can't extrapolate from tuma to derech rechukah. But that's such a good answer for Rabbi Yehuda. Then what was Rabbi Akiva thinking then? And this goes back to Tosafot's reading of the Sifrei that we brought before, which is Rabbi Akiva was just trying to prove to Rabbi Eliezer that the distance or derech rechukah is not just a step outside the Azara, but much further distance that he already can prove from tamei being compared to derech rechukah. Even if you believe derech rechukah means that you're not there both Shat Shchita and Shat Achila, even if you just parallel it and say that the tamei teaches you you don't have to be there for Shat Shchita, that's enough to say that Rabbi Eliezer is wrong, because it's much further distance than just being outside the Azara. So even though, in the end, maybe we can't compare them, as Rabbi Yehuda says, because they are driven by different factors, nevertheless, the fact that tamei and derech rechukah are found in the same place, and tamei at minimum is the amount of time that it would take for Zman HaShchita, which is 6 hours, then derech rechukah at minimum should be at least the Zman HaShchita, which is 6 hours, and that's nowhere near the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer, and that's why it'll be a proof to Rabbi Akiva's Shita against Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, we're going to stop here, 5 lines down on the top of Tzadi Dalet, Amud Aleph.